morning, everyone. You are tuned into the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM, hosted by myself and Jaden Barfus. It has been about 5 weeks since Jaden and I have hosted a show, and a lot has happened since then in just about every world of athletics at the University of Idaho. We're going to hit on football, the big stuff later in the show. Relatively quickly, though, still, as there is a lot to talk about. But before we start, Jaden, how was your break?
It was good. I mean, it was long, I would say. And I'm very excited to be back here to watch conference play. And obviously the start of the second semester. But yeah, I'm just very excited to be back.
Yeah, we both got through Silly Week alive, so
yep.
Hopefully the next 15 weeks go just as well. But
16.
However long it is, yeah. I don't really care. I graduate at the end of it. That's all I need to know. So, But we're going to let Jaden start off. A couple of soccer transfers coming in over the break. A couple literally means two in this situation. Jaden did a little bit of research. Not a lot out there on these two players, but Jaden found enough to hopefully talk about it for a few minutes, and then we'll move on to basketball, football, all that fun stuff. So, Jaden, introduce us to these two new women's soccer players.
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone thought, well, it's there's still other ground. We could escape soccer talk. With me, no, that'll never happen. So, the University of Idaho needing defenders and needing midfielders. Got both. They got a attacking midfielder from the University of Washington, Deanna Montero. She's played in 3 college games in 2 seasons. I believe she is going to be a redshirt sophomore, but do not quote me on that. She might be a true junior. I'm not sure if she is redshirted. She is listed on the University of Washington page as a sophomore. So, she went to Edmonds Wood. Hang on a second while I get pulled up again.
So unprofessional, Jade.
No, the Washington website is unprofessional. Sorry, Washington. So she is from Edmonds, Washington. She played at Edmonds Woodway High School. That's about all that I found on her. And then the one that I have a bit more information on, and finally a Idaho person from the great school of Lake City who did kind of, you know, have the likes of Maddie Lasher on it. So we got a outside back. I believe she will play at University of Idaho. From what I could tell, that's what she played at Washington State and at Lake City. Her name, Georgia Whitehead. And then if any Washington State fans are tuning in, first, I'm sorry. Second, she is the granddaughter of former Washington State football coach Jim Walden. So Georgia is an outside back, like I said. She has appeared in 20 matches in 2 seasons. 4 starts, 1 assist, 689 minutes. And then going back a few years to her days at Lake City, she was a defender to start her career. And then in 2021 as a junior, she and also Washington State freshman Elliot Cortez won a state title for Lake City High School. She scored 18 goals and 15 assists that season. And then as a senior, Lake City finished third, and she added 26 goals and 20 assists. So, I mean, and she has so many more accolades that I could talk about, but we are crunched for time. So she will be a great piece to our team that could potentially start from day one with Cass, Rebecca, and Peters all leaving. I know we have Kate Sprink and possibly Izzy Toma as the starting outside backs, but that gives them competition. She might be able to slide in as center back as well. She is a bit on the taller side. She is 5'8", so she is on the taller side. She might be able to play center back. That was my number one concern this offseason, was getting someone for that back line. And then for Deanna, we lost two of our probably most impactful players to play at the University of Idaho soccer in a long time, Hannah Alfaro Black and Margo. In that midfield, we still have Annika Farley. And if you're a Vandal soccer fan like I am, you saw Farley in Vandal gear working out yesterday. So that's a good sign. So I believe Deanna will be able to fit a role with this soccer team and hopefully help build this Vandals team into what it has been the last three seasons.
Yeah, as you and I have talked about, this team is going to look quite different next season.
Yes.
A lot of new signings that we talked about on our last show, and then bringing in two transfers with a little bit of experience to help provide not only competition on the lines, but also a depth there.
Yes.
So pretty exciting offseason for Vandal soccer, getting two transfers from schools that the University of Idaho has played against in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, and also, like, the getting Power 4 transfers are huge, I think, because with a team as now decimated as we are, we really need those quick quick bursts, those quick that can step in and bam, immediately change it, kind of like what University of Montana did, getting Chloe Seehoff and Jen Estes. They got two really impactful signings and they were off. So I'm really excited for the next season coming up. The spring season will be here in a couple months, but for now, we're now going to hit into the sport that is going on right now.
Men's basketball is where we're going to start, Jaden. They are slightly worse record-wise than the women, so we're going to give them the benefit of going first. Since we last talked, they have gone 3-3, finishing out non-conference play at 5-8. 7-9 is where they're sitting right now. Starting off conference play with a huge win over the Montana State Bobcats here at home, 69-64, followed up by a tough loss against Montana, 73-71, a game they probably should have won.
Should have won, yeah.
But, you know, the final 20 seconds of an Idaho basketball game, you always know that it's either going to go our way or it's not, you know. And so kind of a tough game against Montana at home on small town night. Had a handful of high school basketball players in the arena for that game. And then Thursday evening, taking down the Sacramento State Hornets, which is my favorite team on the planet to beat. I don't know why. I'm just not a big Sac State fan. Winning 80-67 at the Vandals' last game at the Nest as Sacramento State moves forward with a new basketball arena. Looks like it'll fit 1,500 to 2,000 people. Currently seats 1,000. So. And then this afternoon, in about 4 hours, they will be taking on the Portland State Vikings. Jaden, let's look at how this team has played since conference play has started. I really don't care about the games before that. Players have looked incredible in these first few games, specifically Jack Payne. man, I'm dying over here. 16 for 32 from the field. 7 for 20 from the three-point line, 9 for 10 from the free throw line, which is huge for the Vandals. If you watched any non-conference play, free throws are what lost us a lot of games. But he's averaging 16 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, almost 3 assists per game, 5 total steals, a block, and only 4 turnovers so far to start conference play. Jaden, I know you're more on the women's basketball side of things, but what have you seen out of this men's basketball team since conference play has started?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that you and I talked about was that this team was going to be different and different. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. This team is very off. They lean more towards offense. And I'm sure Alex Pribble inside is fuming at giving up 74 points a game. So I mean that in that aspect, we really have to be better defensively. But offensively, having four players score over 10 points or more, there's really nothing else we can do. Offensively, Colton Mitchell had a really strong end to non-conference play. He's kind of struggled a little bit the last few games. Jack Payne had an outstanding game against Sacramento State. But the one player I've really been impressed with is Christian Gonzalez.
Absolutely.
He's really came on this year, averaging 16 points in conference play. He is a perfect 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 8 of 15 from 3. That was his one problem last year. He really could not hit that shot consistently. He is hitting it at a larger pace. And he's 17 of 32 from the field. I really think this team has really improved strides. Their mountains better than what they were last year. Offensively, defensively, not having Trey Blasingame has really hurt the Vandals defensively. Mm-hmm. Also, not having shot blockers, Kyson Rose and Juice Mims from last game. Rose has been out with a concussion. Then I don't know what Juice was out last game with. But not having those inside paint defenders has really not been ideal for the Vandals, especially coming down the road in the Big Sky play. They're definitely going to have to be better defensively. But from offensively, it's been great, and so I'm very pleased with really where the men's basketball team is right now.
Yeah, just talking on Juice Mims, he didn't play against Sac State.
Yes.
He's had kind of a slope so far this season in the downward direction. You know, last season was probably in conversations for newcomer of the year, for defensive player of the year in the Big Sky Conference. Averaging 8.5 points in those two games that he did play. 8.5 rebounds. So still rebounding the ball well, but he hasn't been getting as many touches down low.
Yeah.
Hasn't been getting as many shots to fall. I mean, he's 7 for 10. You know, when your big is only shooting 10, you know, 5 shots a game, you know, I would like to see when Juice comes back kind of this, you know, more well-rounded player that he was last season. You know, that alley-oop monster that can just dunk down low, block the ball well. He's had a block so far in conference play, a steal, but 3 turnovers. So I would like to see Juice come back into this lineup more aggressive than he's been, you know. And he looked decent in non-conference play, but definitely not at the level that he was last season. But I hope maybe this last game off and maybe a couple more games off, depending on, you know, what he's dealing with, whether it's academic or physically related. Hope to see Juice come back and just kind of provide that role that he did last season. Also, Kyson Rose, losing him as kind of that backup big position with him and Juice really splitting minutes, should hopefully be back soon. I've had a concussion before. They're not fun.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Especially the way that he went down against UC San Diego. So, but this men's team is looked much improved from last season.
Yeah,
you know, Jaden mentioned Christian Gonzalez. I want to mention Tekai Hardy. He started against Sac State, has looked much improved from the minutes he played last season. He's 4 for 12 from the field, but he hasn't shot a 3, which is good. 2 for 4 from the free throw line, but he's averaging 4.3 rebounds a game. He does have 12 fouls, which is, you know, a little much, but you're given four fouls a game. You know, you're given the fouls, why not use them? But also has a block on the season, 4 turnovers, and averaging almost an assist a game. So I'd like to see Tekai Hardy morph into this role. You know, when Juice and Kyson are out, kind of stepping up, 44 minutes so far. So about 14, 15 minutes a game. So yeah, just excited to see what this team, who is relatively young, you know, with Colton Mitchell kind of looking off since conference play started, but when he's on, he's on. I would like to see a better, bigger rollout of Isaiah Brickner, who started a handful of games earlier in the season, hasn't played much, and then also Tylan Hart, who has looked incredible so far in conference play off the bench. Averaging, if I can find it, almost 13 points a game.
Yeah, 13.
Three rebounds and 0.3 assists. So the only thing I don't like to see here is 6 of 16 from the three-point line. I like him to maybe shoot a little less and drive to the paint a little more. 14 for 28 from the field. So, Jaden, any more thoughts on the men's basketball team?
Yeah, I mean, see, the one comment you made about Juice, the entire reason he's not doing as good is because he doesn't have to do as much this for season. Sure. When you have four players scoring in double figures, you really don't have to be that number one star player like he did last year. Last year, it was just him and Quinn offensively pretty much all season. And no offense to the players last year, but that was it.
Yeah.
It was Juice, sometimes Kyson towards the end of conference play, and then Quinn Danker. And when Quinn was off, it was just Juice down there. And so he now has the balance of, you have Jack Payne, you have Colton Mitchell when he gets going, you have Tyler Lindner, you have Christian Gonzalez. When we haven't even mentioned Tyler Morris yet.
Yeah.
And so we have these players that can really be a backbone to Juice. And when Juice gets back and Juice gets healthy and he gets his touches, I don't see why this Vandals team cannot be a top three, top two team inside the Big Sky when it's all said and done. Now, as I don't know if you were going to mention this, I think the coaching has been a lot better this year as well. Coach Pribble, inside his second year, he's really found his identity. I think last year he was really searching for it. He has a lot of players back from last year's team, and so he can really find that identity, and so that has been a big thing. I think that the actual development has been a lot better. So yeah, they are 7-9. They also played a really tough non-conference schedule, playing BYU, Washington State, Oregon State. They played really good teams, and they also played UC San Diego. That was 9-2. They played, they played like five or six teams with 8 or 9 wins. So they really challenged themselves, and I think that's going to pay off. I would also say shout out to Coach Alex Pribble for getting his 100th career head coaching win. That is not here at the University of Idaho. He's only been here 2 years, but at his time at the Division II level, and now he's accumulated 100 wins. So, congrats, Coach. I'm really excited to be talking with you here soon.
Yeah, before we move on to women's basketball, the men only have to win 5 more games to have the best record they've had since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Better record than Coach Pribble had in his first season. You know, you look at the Big Sky this year, and it's not great.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
For lack of a better term, the Big Sky is not what it was last season or the season before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Montana State has fallen off. Eastern Washington looks much different this season. Montana is, you know, Montana and
it's
NAU.
Average. Yeah.
They look like the two better teams in the conference.
Yeah.
And Idaho almost beat Montana. We'll probably beat them on the road, if I'm being honest. Especially if, you know, everybody's back healthy.
Yeah.
You have Kyson Rose on Saturday, and you probably win that game. Just need a little bit more depth. But I want to move on to women's basketball. Team is doing incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, they start off with a tough loss at what will likely be the Big Sky Conference winner, Montana State, losing 59-56. There is, at the top of the conference, the women's side is much better than the men's, but they pick up a big win at Montana, 63-50. pick up a big win here Thursday night against the Sacramento State Hornets. Man, I love beating Sacramento State, 63-48. The women sit 10-4 overall. Their only losses coming to BYU, Washington, WSU, UC State. Davis, and Montana State to start conference play. Yeah. So sitting 10-4, 2-1 in conference, will take on Portland State at home for country night. I hope they give out those glowy cowboy hats again. I didn't get one last time. But Jaden, talk a little bit about this team. You know a little bit more about the women's basketball team than I do, follow them a little better than I do. Mm-hmm. You know, in my opinion, Idaho has the newcomer and the defensive player of the year in Hope Hassman and Jennifer Odland, respectively. I mean, really, any player on this team could be the newcomer of the year, especially those top three that I will let Jaden talk about. Here you go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, again, I'm also going to say we are mountains better than what we were last year. Coaching, playing, developing, everything. And it all starts with the guard position. We have two outstanding guards. Number one, Olivia Nelson, who struggled. She struggled to start the year, coming from Division II to Division II, Division II to Division I. Coach Art has admitted it. She has admitted it. She really struggled. But she's really grown into her game, and Liv is now averaging 10.8 points. The other night, she had 8 steals in that game, which is, I think, third all-time for a game. And the other two were by the same player. So, and then we have Hope Hassman, which James knows this, is my favorite player on this team. She does so much for this team. She is a team player. That's number one. She really is a team player. In talking with her and getting to know her mentality. And then on the court, she's averaging 13 points in conference play, having scored 14 or more in all three games. She had 16 the other night. She scored the first 11 of, I think, 20 of our team. She was really our spark plug the other night to start. And then she kind of struggled, and then that second quarter. I mean, I could talk 20 minutes with just about that second quarter, but Hope has been great. Rosie's been good. But my MVP of this team is Jennifer Odland. She is averaging 9 points and 10 rebounds a game. She's number 10 in the country in rebounds per game. Now, people, number 10 in the country. That means Division I. That means bigger teams. The LSU, Tennessee, she's number 10 in the country. 10.7 rebounds a game. She is a rebounding machine. She had 18 rebounds the other night. So going into more depth about Sacramento State that game, they started slow. They really started slow. They really weren't playing good defensively. They allowed 20 points in that first quarter. They were down 20-13 going into the second quarter, and then we outscored Sacramento State 24-2 in that second quarter. Started a run when Hope Hassman got her second foul with 5 minutes left, and then, well, Hope actually started the run. She scored 5 quick points, and then she got her second foul, and then Jennifer Odland hit back-to-back threes, and then Jen found Olivia for a third straight three to push out the lead to, I think it was 15 at the halftime, and then we go on to win. This team is battle tested. This team is a very good team. I do think if that Montana State game was here, we beat them. I do think once Montana State comes up here, we beat them. I do think we also beat NAU. And I think, I'm going to say it, James said Montana State is going to be the conference winner.
I said possibly.
He said possibly. I think if the Vandals play like this and everyone stays healthy, I don't think on a neutral site, no one beats them. I just think this team is way too talented. We really have the coaching we have. We have Drew, we have Art, we have all the coaches, all the players, all the depth, that this team can make a serious run in March and could finally get back to March Madness. Yeah. I know it's a bold take, but...
I fully agree. I mean, I think, you know, we play Montana again on the road in 9 days.
Montana should be here.
I'm looking at men's. My bad. Montana on the road, or here in 9 days. Again, that should be another win for the Vandals. Play Eastern Washington next Saturday. Here. I don't really know what Eastern Washington looks like. Didn't really pay attention to the Eagles so far this season.
I don't know.
But you get Northern Arizona on the road in just 2 weeks. So that'll be a game to
get
really
your popcorn
watch.
For that one, guys. Yeah. That one will be a really good, because NAU is really a team like Idaho I could talk about forever. I've actually got to see them in person this year against Idaho State, and so they're also a very well coached team. But I think overall the women's basketball Big Sky is going to be a lot more competitive than what the men
Absolutely.
Are. And guys, please come out to games. I mean, I could go on a 20-minute rant again. I'm not going to.
It was a fun time.
But you just have to show up to this team, man. 10-4, we're 5-1 at home. Come out and support. And the game today at 2 p.m., I know for a fact that none of you are doing anything that important on a Saturday at 2 p.m.
Unless you're working.
If you're working,
call out.
Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty of excuses you could make. The road's too slick.
Yeah.
The sidewalks are too slick.
Exactly.
I couldn't walk.
Yeah, I couldn't walk to work. But you
plenty
could,
of excuses you can make.
You could drive up to ICCU and set a nice, warm dome. Arena, sorry.
Not in the dome anymore.
Almost said dome, but... this team's very fun to watch, and everyone should come watch them.
Yeah. One thing I just want to mention, you know, Jaden talked about Jennifer Alden being 10th in the country in rebounds.
Per game, yeah.
Per game, with 10.8 is what's listed on this graphic. The final minute I have here. The other players on this list that are, you know, that play at the higher Division
highest,
one level.
The highest Division one level.
Anissa Morrow out of LSU. Mm-hmm. Jessica Peterson out of SMU. Sierra Williams out of Wisconsin. Liadu King out of Notre Dame. Kendall Bostic out of Illinois. And, well, I guess you can consider Eastern Michigan, but they're more of a mid-major if you ask me.
Yeah.
CeCe Ellico. Is just above Jen at 10.9 rebounds per game. Other teams on here are SJU. No idea where that's at. They're the Red Hawks, it looks like. And then Southern Illinois, Gift Uchenna, 12.9 is the second leading rebounder in the country. So Jennifer Alden, in the midst of incredible company. Speaking of incredible company, Jaden.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long 5 weeks for the Idaho Vandals football team.
Yep.
You know, right after the Montana State game, which I had the displeasure of attending and taking photos at, around halftime, the players found out that Jason Eck was most likely leaving for the University of New Mexico. It was announced just a day later that Jason Eck was leaving for the University of New Mexico. The Vandals lost that game 52-19, the final game for quite a few Vandals, including the one and only Jack Lane, who was 20 for 30 in that game, 239 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. However, Jack Lane does have the unique ability to play Idaho State again next season and continue his Bengal killer legacy. Another player who will be gone is the running back who started in that game, Day-Day Buchanan, who is headed to the University of New Mexico.
Lane as well.
Lane is also headed down there. Thank you. He had 10 attempts, 95 yards, no touchdowns. Another player who is gone, headed to Texas Christian University, Jordan Dwyer, 11 receptions, 189 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The best game of his career
by far
was his final game as a Vandal. Another player who is headed to Wisconsin.
Yep.
Who didn't have really an impact on the Montana State game. He has 2 receptions for 11 yards, no touchdowns. But Mark Hamper, who was just a stalwart on offense for the Vandals, especially late in the season, is now gone. Mason Minney, who was listed on here, but 0 receptions, 0 yards, also gone. Aiden Knappick, who had to Cal, yeah, Mason Minney, originally committed to Michigan State, is headed to the Calgarithm. Aiden Knappick, who had 1 reception for -2 yards. Don't know how that happened. Don't want to know how that happened, but Aiden Knappick is on his way to Illinois, leaving the Idaho offensive line. I don't know what Illinois' football program looks like. Maybe they're better than Idaho, but
a top 25 team.
Well, look at that. So maybe. I don't know. Looking at the defensive side of the ball, Idaho lost a lot.
Let's just say a lot, because it was pretty much the entire starting defense.
Yep. Jack Stanek, following his dad down to the University of New Mexico, he had 13 total tackles against Montana State. Tommy McCormick is either headed to the NFL draft or medical school, depending on how things go here in a couple months.
Yeah.
He had 9 total tackles in that game. Keyshawn James Newby, who by the hand of Congress was granted another year of eligibility after playing 2 years at Montana Tech, had 7 tackles. He is on his way to New Mexico. Ja'Kari Larmond, 6 total tackles, is on his way to the NFL draft. Kyron Beachum, 5 total tackles, on his way to the NFL draft. Andrew Marshall, 4 total tackles in this game, on his way to Nebraska. Dwayne McDougal, I think, is gone. I have a list of all of these.
Yeah.
Because it was important to me.
I believe McDougal is at New Mexico.
San Diego State.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sam Brown is sticking around. Zach Krotzer is sticking around. Corey Thomas Jr., I think, is headed to the draft, maybe? I'm not entirely sure.
I believe so.
Isaiah King entered the portal for a little bit, decided to come back. Zach Johnson didn't announce that he was in the portal, but he is headed to Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Started classes on Wednesday, or is starting classes on Monday, something like that. Malachi Williams, this one's going to hurt, fellas. He had 1 tackle against Montana State. He is headed south, but not too far south, to the Boise State Broncos. Amari Notice had 1 tackle in the game against Montana State. He has not announced where he is going, but he did announce that he is in the portal. Has not announced where he's going. He has offers to a handful of schools, including Virginia Tech. Looking at the rest of the portal, Dallas Afalava is headed to Wake Forest. Jack Foster is headed to Nevada. I think that was his name. Abraham Williams is headed to New Mexico. Xavier Slayton is headed to New Mexico. Caden Robnett, offensive lineman, headed to New Mexico. Richard Munoz is the other player currently in the portal for the Vandals who has not announced where he is going yet or if he is coming back. He might be a player that goes down a level or sticks around. Not entirely sure yet. But Jaden, that was all the doom and gloom that happened over the last 5 weeks.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, about the first week after that Montana State game, 5 days felt like about 5 months. I almost could have graduated in the time between Jason Eck leaving and, drumroll please, Jaden. Good enough. Thomas Ford announced as the new head coach for the University of Idaho Vandals. This is a huge hire for Idaho. When it was announced that Jason Eck was leaving, I had 2 thoughts in my head, really. 3 thoughts. Number one was Matt Linehan, already established at the program. You move your coach up because I knew that Eck was going to kind of poach the program as he left, as every coach does. but then a little birdie reminded me about my best friend, Coach Thomas Ford, who was announced as the head football coach really quickly, really, really quickly. Uh-huh. No thanks to a bunch of players coming out in support, including the entire quarterback room. You know, Eli Cummings returns from the portal after Ford is announced. Brought a lot of guys back in. Nathan Kanapik, Aiden Kanapik's brother, sticks around, leaves the portal. He had a decent amount of offers as well. So Coach Ford bringing in a good staff, yeah. Very good staff. As I mentioned, Matt Linehan, who is sticking around as the offensive coordinator slash quarterbacks coach, think he fits in really well there. Defensive coordinator, linebacker coach Court Dennison, who had some off-the-field, out of the office issues a handful of years ago, but has made his way back up into the Division I ranks. The offensive line slash run game coordinator will be Lauren Ensley. Seems like a really nice guy. Wide receivers coach will be Tyler. Jaden, can you help me out here?
Pow Pow.
Thank you. Recruiting coordinator slash tight ends coach will be Sheldon Cross. The safeties and special teams coordinator will be Neil Fendel. Corners will be Tristan DeCoud. Edges will be Avery Roberts. And the strength and conditioning coach will be Jamel Cooper. Jaden, you and I are avid football fans.
Yep.
I think in the last 3 years for you, the last 4 years for myself, I've only missed one home game. I doubt you've missed any.
I've actually missed one as well.
Ah, shucks.
Against Drake.
Well, Jaden and I have both missed only one football game yep. during our time here at the University of Idaho. Jaden, tell me your thoughts, really, on this new coaching staff.
Yeah.
The players who have stuck around, and we'll get into the transfers coming in after Jaden gives his thoughts on this coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I just want to say thank you to Coach Eck. I mean, that guy really, really brought the life back into this Idaho Vandal team. I mean, 3 playoffs in 3 seasons, 26-13 over 3 seasons. Coach Eck did really everything you could ask for except for a national championship, but national championship was still far off. I believe that's why he left. He was like, Montana State was like the one stepping stone, and then we get blown out again. He's probably like, okay, we don't really have a chance at national championship in the next 2 or 3 years.
Also, $1.5 million.
No, and so he saw New Mexico going, okay, it's probably better for my family to leave. I will never have any ill will feelings towards him or any player that wants to follow him, because what fans don't understand is that a player doesn't come to a university. They come for a coaching staff, because the coaching staff is the ones that will come into their homes and will promise them, I'm going to be here. And so they form these relationships. And then when you leave, you now have a stranger that you're now going to trust with your life. And so that's why I think most of these players left. Now, to get a guy, Thomas Ford, who I love, James loves.
Community loves.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great hire, not only for the players, but for everybody, I think. I think he's a real – he's a guy that loves Moscow, and I think he'll be a great fit for this team. I believe that him getting players back was huge, getting most of our offensive line back, us having an established starting quarterback with great backups. One of them just got put on scholarship. So, I mean, we really have a great amount of players coming back. The staff is great. Court Dennison, who is really the only coach I really knew besides Matt. Great coach, great defensive coordinator. But I'm really excited for the future. But again, and I'll continue to say, please don't have any ill will feelings towards players or coaches. I know there were some comments that were very negative on players. I get it. Us fans are mad because it seems like it's the very end of the world. Promise it's not. Coach Ford has a plan. He's already said at his press conference that that the this is not it, it's not going to be a rebuild. I'm trying to think of the quote that Coach Saban said. Oh yeah, Coach Saban would always say, "I never rebuild, I just retool." And I believe this is what this is. We are going to have fresh faces, though. Don't get me wrong. Not having Jack Lane here, it's going to suck. His starting career was short-lived. He was here three seasons, but only started four or five games. So not very many games. He was a great player, but I do have full belief in Jack Wagner or Bia or really
anyone.
Anybody inside that quarterback room can be a great starting quarterback, but my number one assumption will be Jack Wagner will be at least in spring ball. He'll be the starting quarterback going in. We have no idea what spring practices and fall camp and all that will do, but I believe he will be the presumed starting quarterback going in. I think Jack had a great season this year. He was on the Jerry Rice Award winner watch list. I believe if Wagner's given a full season, I think that he can really compete for a Big Sky championship, and I believe a compete for a playoff spot. I just don't think we are there yet. I don't think we're like NDSU or Montana State or South Dakota State. I don't think we're at that national championship competition yet, but I think with Ford being here a few years, we can eventually get there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at next season for the Vandals, it's probably the easiest season they've had in a while.
A long time.
Like, yep. I mean, you start off against Washington State.
That is a really good game.
It's going to be a good game. I mean, they were also decimated by the portal, also picked up a lot of guys from South Dakota State. As the SDSU coach comes over to Pullman, a job that was announced just a couple days after Jason Eck left. And then you follow that game up with a now home game against St. Thomas, was originally a home and home starting on the road. But just shortly after Coach Ford got to Moscow, him and Terry Golic and the rest of the athletic department sat down and figured out how to get one game against St. Thomas at home on September 6th for the home opener. A week later, you get Utah Tech, who is they've really been the if you're a Big Sky team and you want to win early in the year, just play Utah
Tech.
Schedule
them, yep.
I mean, their basketball program's halfway decent, but their football team is. And then you go on the road to San Jose State. That could be a tough game for the Vandals. I don't really know what San Jose State looks like, but they have a cool logo, so good for them. But then you look at conference play. I mean, you start at, I guess it's at Montana. I thought it was here for some crazy reason. But you start in Missoula, a team that also kind of taken out by the portal, doesn't really know what their QB is going to look like. They picked up a quarterback out of the transfer portal, picked up a really, 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 really good defensive player from the University of Idaho and Diesel Wilkinson. Probably the toughest loss for the Vandals, if we're being honest, outside of maybe Jack Lane. But, you know, you have a defense that's already decimated, and then you lose a guy who was probably going to come in and step up and be a great starter here. Then you get Northern Colorado at home. It's Northern Colorado. That's all you need to say. You go when you play at Cheney, which is always difficult, especially if Eastern Washington, you know, can rebuild really the roster spots, roster talent that they lost, losing Efton Kizom, losing Kakoa Vesperez, one of the, if not the best, quarterback wide receiver duo in the Big Sky Conference. Then you get Portland State at home. That's Portland State. You get Northern Arizona at Northern Arizona. They were a ranked team this season. They finished after the national championship game, for some weird reason, ranked 22nd in the country. You get UC Davis at home. Since Idaho returned to the Big Sky, that is a team they haven't been able to beat.
Nope.
Then you go to Sacramento State, who, well, it's Sacramento State. They're either going to be really good or really bad.
There's
no middle of the road for the Sacramento State Hornets.
Yeah, it's Sacramento State has gotten some really good players. Yeah. They just barely got a – they got a guy Hall from the University of Texas, a really good wideout. So I believe that one will be a very competitive game.
Yeah, it'll be probably tougher than Sac State was for anyone to face this season. Yeah. They'll probably be at the level they were a couple years ago. New coaching staff, quite a few new transfers. And then you finish off the season with the battle for the Potato State Trophy against the Idaho State Bengals at home. Six home games for the first time since 2017. Pretty awesome for Idaho.
Yep.
This is a team that, in my opinion, could very easily go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 and 0. Could go 8 and 4.
Yeah.
You know, I think their ceiling, honestly, is 12-0, always is for any team, really. I think their floor is, you know, 8-4. That's a loss to Washington State, a loss to San Jose State, and then a couple losses in conference, likely UC Davis and Sac State, mm-hmm. you know, Montana maybe, Eastern Washington maybe. You know, if Eastern Washington was at home, I wouldn't be as worried. But, you know,
playing Cheney, anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, they almost beat Montana this year. They had a good game against Montana State. Yep. But speaking of transfers, I want to touch on these guys that have committed to the University of Idaho out of the transfer portal. You know, we lost a lot, around 15 players, I think, and then also lost a lot to graduation. But quite a few big schools here. Names from big schools. Kai Richardson follows Coach Ford from Oregon State. He's a defensive end, a position that Idaho's going to need, you know, losing
Keyshawn
and losing Malachi Williams.
Yeah.
You have Oliver Fisher coming in as a tight end out of Boise State University. I don't know if this is a good trade for Idaho or not. You know, I haven't watched Oliver Fisher at all. But maybe tight end for a five-year defensive player in Malachi Williams. Maybe good trade there. Donovan Parham is a defensive end out of Mississippi Valley State, Missouri Valley State, one of those two.
Yeah, one of them.
I think Mississippi, I think. I don't know. I don't really care. I put Miss Valley State. That's my fault on my list. But another defensive end, once again, position that needs reloaded. Zachary Spears comes to the University of Idaho from the University of Connecticut, more of a basketball school over there, but he's a defensive back. Once again, another position that kind of was ravaged by the portal and graduation.
Yep.
You bring in, this is a fun name, William Cornelson, I think, linebacker out of Tyler Junior College. I love bringing junior college guys in, you know, a little bit of experience at, you know, the collegiate level, kind of, you know, it's basically picking up a more experienced high school freshman, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Especially if they were at JUCO for 2 years. Then the big name, Maurice Himes, an edge out of Washington, another position that Idaho is going to need. He's from Germany, which is pretty cool.
Hamburg.
There was a former player at the University of Idaho from Germany that was being talked about in the Tubs at the Club Discord that I'm in, but I don't remember who they said it was. He played here in like 2017 or something. So we'll have an Australian and a German on the team next season, which is pretty cool. And then Timothy Jackson, a safety, once again, another position that Idaho desperately needed, picked up out of the portal, comes to us from College of the Canyons. So still a lot of transfer portal guys out there that have been given offers to the University of Idaho that could come here, that I'll stay updated on and we'll probably talk about in a couple of weeks when we hopefully have Coach Ford on the show, fingers crossed.
Hopefully
also have Coach Pribble on the show, fingers crossed, need to email a guy. You know, we might have coaches on the show in the next couple of weeks, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Jayden, we have about 9 minutes left. I talked really fast about this. But, you know, bringing in Coach Ford, bringing in the staff that he did, just has me super excited for next season. you know, if we could start football in, you know, end of March after basketball season is over, I would want to. I mean, this team just has me excited.
Yeah.
To, you know, this is how I felt when Kochak was hired, but not as good because we weren't successful.
Right.
In the, you know, 20, 30 years prior to Jason Eck being here outside of three bowl games.
A few years, yeah.
So, I mean, when Kochak was announced, I literally put on Facebook, he couldn't be worse than the last guy. He blew my expectations out of the water, finishes 26-13. Yeah. You know, I feel no ill will hit towards him or the players. I mean, it obviously sucks to, you know, lose a coach who was so good, lose players who were really good. Especially when those players follow a coach, but this happens at every single college.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Washington State just poached 18 guys, I think, from South Dakota State and their coach and their coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
South Dakota State then goes and poaches Jason Eck's coaching staff and brings Dan Jackson up, which also then led to a Deontay Cooper leaving the University of Idaho for South Dakota State. He was the running back coach here last season. Who was recommended by Coach Ford. So still waiting on the announcement of the running back coach and I think D-line coach.
Yes.
For the University of Idaho football team. So still a couple more that we're waiting on that will, I imagine, be announced by the next time we talk about football, whenever that is.
Well, either
next week or the week after or the week after that, depending on how scheduling works and this guy emails me back. But... he's new. I'll give him time. I'll be nice. But, you know, just all around, after the first 5 days of the off season for Idaho, just a great time since then. Almost a full coaching staff, brought back a lot of guys. I mean, that's one thing that with the 6 minutes we really should shout out is Eli Cummings leaving the portal, coming back to Idaho. Nathan Knappick leaving the portal, coming back to Idaho. Nate Azapardi, Emerson Cortez Menjivar, and Isaiah King, I mentioned earlier. Yeah. So offensive line guys, you know, specifically Azapardi, who, you know, may not look like the best offensive lineman on the field at sometimes, but to have that leadership in the locker room, a guy who will be a lifetime Vandal, you don't get very often in college football anymore. Players who you can say spent their whole career at Idaho. You know, you got Hogan and Hayden Hatton, technically. I mean, they had an extra year they could have used, but off in National and Canadian football leagues.
Yeah.
You have Zach Kratzer, who will be a lifetime Vandal, graduating next year alongside the other line with Nate Azapardi. So just cool stuff happening. Emerson will likely be wide receiver one. Isaiah King just providing leadership in that room that was otherwise decimated by the portal and by graduation. But, you know, best of luck to the guys who did leave, especially the ones who were here for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. Diesel, we'll see you on September 27th.
Yeah.
I will never not be frustrated about that. Malachi, have fun being a Bronco. I mean, Malachi spent 5 years at the University of Idaho. You know, to take that grad transfer year, sure, you'd rather him go to, like,
anywhere else.
Alabama, but
anywhere else.
Anywhere else but
Boise
SUVs.
State.
He is a Bronco now. But, you know, if it weren't for COVID and redshirting and stuff, he would have been a lifetime Vandal probably. So. But I'm all for a guy taking a shot wherever he can to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi Williams is going to be able to do that. I mean, the last time we sent a defensive guy to the NFL was
Ellis, right?
Yeah, the Ellises who have established themselves, and Trey Walker in 21, who went to the Commanders for a little bit. I think they were the Washington football team at the time.
Yeah.
Played in as a Seattle Snapdragon for a little bit and is now just living life, I'm pretty sure. So, but the Ellis brothers, obviously, all of them doing halfway decent in the NFL. Christian Ellis almost had an interception a couple weeks ago and should have, because if you're going to lose the first overall pick, at least let Christian Ellis get an interception.
Yeah.
But anywho, Jaden, we have 3 minutes left if you have any parting words for the people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really the fact that the University of Idaho sports as a whole, I think, is growing. It's getting better. Basketball's getting better. Soccer's getting better. I mean, soccer will be consistently football. I think that it's a long shot, but our volleyball team will continue to try and turn things around.
We didn't talk volleyball at all on this episode.
We also got a signing from
Sarah Sullivan Henderson, Nevada, yep. From Butler Community College.
Yeah,
will be an outside hitter. Still don't know who the coach is for the volleyball team, but
yeah, but you gotta commit, I mean, so. It's great, but. I do really, just to go back, have patience with Coach Ford, have patience with the team, because, yes, on paper, it may come out, but we do still have to put on the pads. We still have to go play. So a 12-0 ceiling, obviously that's what every fan wants. I mean, I believe our ceiling is going to be 10-2, maybe. But have patience and Ford come out to Dane the game at 2 p.m. and go Vandals.
Yeah. With all that being said, you aren't done with me yet. We have moved my Jam with James show to 11 to noon on Saturdays because I'm already here. So with all that said, I'm going to close us out. Jaden's going to probably go sit in the lounge and wait so he can get a ride home. I don't know what he does. But thank you all for tuning in, and as always, go Vandals.